Hallelujah. It's good to soak in the Lord's presence. And that's part of why we gather together, is to soak in the Lord's presence, because it's real easy for us to not take the time or make the time in our regular days to soak in the Lord's presence. We could have praise music and teachings and everything going on all of the time, and we might not be soaking. We might not be really getting all that the Lord has for us. In fact, none of us get all that the Lord has for us. But if we're hungry, we keep eating. And, you know, I can tell you that sometimes I eat when I'm not hungry for food. You ever do that? Just keep doing it, you know. At our house, it's always a thing of need to get the chips off the table. I don't eat chips often, but if they get on the table, if I don't get them off the table, the empty bag or the empty box of stacked potato chips will be in the trash, because you just keep eating. And we should be that way when it comes to the things of God. And the more that we recognize the goodness of God, the more we are that way, the more we take the opportunity. Just this morning, I read about the moon and how it's a testimony of the goodness of God. And I'd never looked at it that way before. But it testifies that the sun is shining somewhere, because the moon is only a reflection of the sun. And that just sprung up in my spirit, that the sun, S-O-N, is shining even in the darkest times, in the darkest night. And so now I have a new appreciation for the moon. I'm not going to worship the moon. You know, they have people that worship the sun, the moon, and the stars. But the moon is always going to be a reminder to me of the faithfulness of God. It's a testimony to His faithfulness. He hung the moon, and He hung the stars, and He hung the sun, and He's faithful. And He has promised that, just like He gave us the rainbow as a reminder that He was never going to destroy the earth by flood again. You know? So, you know, I like rainbows, but I need to rejoice more over rainbows. You know, I guess the thing is that we need to take advantage of every opportunity to give God all the praise and all the glory and all the honor that we can. To get excited. You know, I've told you before, I used to get excited about the party. You know, before the party started, I was excited. When I found out there was a party, I was excited. If I could arrange a party, I was excited. When I was in college, you know, people running up and down the halls, when you've got 300 guys living in a dorm place, there's somebody that's looking for a party. And they somehow knew that my door would be a good one to knock on. Okay, you know, who needs to study? Who needs to, well, let's go, let's get excited, let's go. You know, and so to be fired up. And so it just seems to me, since God is so much better, I should be fired up. And so I will be honest, I look for opportunities, I look for things that will say, oh yeah, let's praise the Lord. And sometimes you just got to praise Him even if your enthusiasm isn't there. Because once you begin, your enthusiasm will come, because you'll know, bless the Lord, O my soul, worship His holy name. We're reminded, as David said, why are you so messed up, soul? Come on, let's praise the Lord. Come on, you can do it. Let's praise the Lord. I mean, isn't in the world, isn't that the advice people will give you? Oh, come on, let's go have a drink. Oh, come on, let's go have a party. Come on, you'll forget all of this. Come on. So is it so wrong then for us to say, let's just praise the Lord. Come on, let's just praise the Lord. You know, it's like when it's time to go out and run, you know? It's like my enthusiasm for running isn't what it once was. But when it got really hot those days, you know, there's something about the heat that just makes me want to go run. And so I wanted to go out and run. And so I was out and I ran and it was like, man, this feels good, you know, but I don't want to go too fast because if I go too fast, I'm not going to go very far because I can't run as fast as I once could, but I can enjoy the run, you know. And the fourth day I went out to run, there was like a bug on my leg. And so I jumped up to get that bug with my other leg. And my calf began to scream at me. And I said, well, I can run through this, you know. When you're 25, you can run through it. But it wasn't too long before I couldn't run through it. And the Lord said, you better go home. I said, okay. Home I went, you know. And so now we're waiting for the next hot day and see how it's going. But, you know, we have a lot of things that we're enthusiastic for, you know. I mean, I enjoy Jeff just looking at his girls, you know. It's like they're going to go back to California. Boy, that's tough. But they got a daddy that's going to be praying for them, and, you know. But you know, you have those things, there's some enthusiasm for that. You know, he said, man, I was looking forward to this time. And he had a post on Facebook that he's looking for extra work, but he ain't looking for extra work until they're not here. Because he's devoted to that, he's focusing on that, and that's a good thing. You know, we all have things that we will focus on and we will be devoted to. And God just says, you know, all of those things, look at all of the effort that you'll put in. Look at all of the focus you'll put into certain things. And now just seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all those other things will just be added to you. In other words, the way I get those things that trip my trigger so much are to focus on God. And then those things, you know, they just come. And we just rejoice in them. And little things become, you know, amazing things. Vicki and I went on the motorcycle trip last week, and it's the first time that we pulled the trailer behind. And she's been sort of, I think the whole thing was, she wasn't sure about pulling a trailer. So she's, well, we can pack our bags. We can just stack them up and stuff. And I said, I'm sick of stacking bags up and digging through bags. We got this trailer. We're going to pull this trailer. Because somebody told me once they pulled a trailer, they would never travel on a motorcycle again without that trailer. And so we took off, and it was a great day to test it. We had a crosswind like crazy and didn't bother the bike, and it was great. And we got there, and it was so good. And she had to take some stuff back to Penny's, and so then we shopped at Penny's. We had a big old bag. We could throw that baby in there because, I mean, we saved a fortune. Penny's is closing, you know. And on their receipt, they show you how much you saved. I mean, we walked out of there saving a bundle. We didn't spend terrible much, but we had a big bag, no problem. Just throw it in the back of the trailer. When we got up to the motel, we were blessed of the Lord because we checked in and I said, do you have some place where I can like chain up my trailer? And this lady said, oh yeah, we've got a special place for motorcycles to park. Oh man, talk about blessed. Praise God. He went before us because we had a reservation at a different motel and I just was messing around and they had one of them Trivago advertisements and so I checked Trivago and Trivago got us a better deal at a better place. Anyway, you know, that all has nothing to do with anything unless you relate it to the goodness of God, and once you pull it all around, stick it to the goodness of God, it turns into a praise report. 10,000 reasons. 10,000 reasons to sing your praise. 10,000 years and then forevermore. You see, looking for an excuse to praise. I used to look for an excuse to party. Some people look for an excuse to get mad. Some people look for an excuse for all kinds of stuff. Why can't we look for an excuse to praise? See, this is what the Holy Spirit does in our lives. He leads us into the presence of God. He leads us into all truth, and Jesus is what? He's the truth. He's the way. He's the life. The Holy Spirit, when He comes, He will lead you. When the Spirit of truth comes, He'll guide you into all truth. He will not speak His own mind, but He will tell what He has heard, and He will tell you about the future. And sometimes all He'll tell you is, it'll be okay. And our spirit bears witness with His spirit. We say, yeah, it'll be okay. It'll be okay. And once we've seen what the Spirit of the Lord can do, now we become purveyors of the truth. It'll be okay. We'll just trust the Lord. Because if we don't, then we're going to be caught up in everything else that the world is caught up in. We'll be caught up in the same doubts, the same worries, the same fears, the same angers, the same everything. And we don't want to get caught up in that. The Scripture warns us, that, you know, don't be caught up in that. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Don't be caught up in everything else that's going on. Don't be discouraged by the news. Don't be brought down by that. Why? Because we have a promise from God. We have better news. The Bible is the gospel is called the good news. Tell me some good news. Some people don't, they just really don't even want to hear good news. Don't tell me good news. Or people say, you know, I know, but. I know that, but. If we really know that, there's no but to it. Yeah. See, with the Holy Spirit, we begin to be directed. We say, yeah, yeah, that's right, that's right. Not, I know that, but yeah, that's right. Because you see, the Holy Spirit leads if we're leadable. Am I leadable? And where am I not leadable? And if there's a place where I'm not leadable, then He's not going to lead me. He doesn't push me. He doesn't throw me down and step on my chest. You know? He won't make me do anything. He will rescue me. I've heard so many testimonies at the jail from people that have been rescued. People that held a gun to their own head, pulled the trigger, and it misfired. Were so determined to do it, it misfired a second time. And then they heard the voice that was there all the time saying, come to me. But you see, it took two clicks for them to hear the still small voice of the Lord. But the opportunity is there. He will lead me. He won't drag me. He won't force me. How many times do people say, well, you know, if God really wants me to do this, He'll make me do this. No, He won't. People say, well, if God wants me saved, He'll save me because He's already decided. And if He doesn't decide, then I won't be. If you're hearing the news, He's offered you the opportunity. And Scripture even says, even if you haven't heard the opportunity's been offered. Creation says, come unto the Lord. The moon says, come to the Lord. The sun says, come to the Lord. The trees of the field clap their hands. The birds, there's those ones, doves, that are always going, whatever they're saying. I hear them always saying, our God is great, our God is great, our God is great. When I go out early in the morning and I hear them, I go, yay, man, our God is great, our God is great, our God is great. And so the Lord says that He will lead us. In John 14, He said, look, it's best if I go away because then the Holy Spirit will come and He'll lead you. Lead me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Lead me. You know, as a child and as a teenager, I think we sang that every week in church. Spirit of the living God, fall on me. And I liked the tune. Didn't mean a word that I sang. Wasn't worried about what I sang. We were just there doing that thing. Now I think, wow. If I'd have known. If only I had known. If I knew then what I know now. How many times do people say that? We see the Holy Spirit leads us into all truth. He's our comforter. He's our strength. He's our everything. He's our ever-present help in trouble. He's always telling us. You know? I mean, I think yesterday that the Spirit of God just led me. Our culvert over here has been a mess. I've been waiting for the state guys to fix their culvert. I've been waiting for the county guys to stick it. It just weeds. It was just ugly. Yesterday, I just took my tractor, shaved off all the ones I could. Then I went out there with my machete, and I cut down all those weeds. And I got that culvert looking better. And I was glad about it. In fact, this morning when I came over to the church to make sure the coffee got made, I stepped around the corner to make sure that it still looked good. The weeds are gone. You know, I need to be that determined in my life. Hack down those weeds. Get those things. You know, it doesn't matter. Everything else looked good, but this area of about 20 feet just stunk. And I can't get it with my lawnmower because they made the too difficult to do that. And I don't want to always go get my weed eater. So I kept thinking, well, if it grows, they'll come and take care of it. I think they drove by and said, one of these days, Rogers is going to fix that. We won't have to bother. You know, it's like, you know, boy, that guy's waiting and waiting. What's the matter with him? You know? Well, no more waiting. Well, sometimes we do that with our lives. You know, we just wait and we wait and we wait. We maybe see in the Word and we think, I know that. But I don't know that enough to do anything about it. I don't know that enough I'm not comfortable enough with what that Word is telling me right now to just be transformed by the renewing of my mind. We know that. The Word of God just, at different times, speaks different things. When I read that verse in the Bible about the moon being a testimony of the faithfulness of God, I've got that underlined in my Bible. So I knew that, I just didn't know that until the Holy Spirit went, wait a minute. That is a testimony of the faithfulness of God. If the moon is shining, that means the sun's shining somewhere. You know, before people had satellite views of the earth, they thought it was flat. So no doubt there were people that worshiped the sun that spent all night praying to make sure it would come back up because it disappeared and before they knew that that moon was actually a reflection of it. But there were some maybe who just figured, you know what? The sun will come up. I'm going to sleep. And there were some who looked at the moon and said, wow, does the sun change its colors at night? I don't know. I don't know what they thought. But I know now that I think a whole new thing. It's a reminder to me. It's like a rainbow after the rain. It's like all of those things. God is so good. You see, He's in everything we see how good He is. And when we begin to acknowledge it and we declare it, when we let our testimony be how good God is, now that just changes everything. And it opens us up to, wait a minute, God has said, God has promised, I'll get through this too. It'll be all right. I got a feeling everything's going to be all right. And that's all involved in just turning our eyes upon Jesus. Looking full in His wonderful face. And then the cares of this world grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. He'll sustain us anywhere, won't He, Jeff? He'll make us the head and not the tail. The winner, not the loser. He gives us a future and a hope. He lets us know there's no limit to what we can accomplish in the name of Jesus. We just got to keep calling on the right name. Just keep calling upon the name of Jesus. Call upon the name of Jesus. The Bible tells us to do that. Jesus said in verse 12 of John 16, He said, there's so much more I want to tell you, but you can't bear it right now. When the Spirit comes, He'll guide you into all truth. See, you're gonna need the Holy Spirit to get you through the next thing, and the next thing, and the next thing, and the next thing, and the next thing. You got to stay with the guide. You know, Jordan talked about when he was in ranger training. You know, they put him out in the middle of darkness, deep darkness, and they're supposed to find their way somewhere, and they do it. You know, so I guess that if I were going to when we've hiked in the hills, I like to see the signs that tell me where I'm supposed to be going. I don't like to run out of signs. I want to be smart enough to follow the signs. Well, if I couldn't find out where I was going, I would want to follow somebody that knew how to get where they were supposed to go. See, if I had a choice between somebody that says, I don't have a clue, but I think we can find it, or my son who's used a compass to find himself and spots in the dark, I'm going to go with the guy that can find his way in the dark, not the guy that says, we'll make it. I don't want to be found in a pile off the trail and make the news saying so-and-so did something, something. We want to be wise and want to be wise stewards of what God gives us. And so we have the Holy Spirit to guide us. And it's so funny that some people just want to just push aside the Holy Spirit. We don't need the Holy Spirit anymore. Oh yeah, we've got the Holy Spirit. If we have the Holy Spirit, we are leadable. But if we can't be guided by the truth, then we don't have all that God has promised us and told us that we needed. He leads us. He does not force us. But the moment that we say, show me the way, boom, here he comes. Here he comes. Some people say, well, I'm waiting for some great big thing to happen. Sometimes great big things happen. But sometimes you just start believing. And when you just start believing, things start to happen. And after a while of things happening, you look and you say, whoa, man, some big things happened. I just didn't see that they were big things happening. I didn't see things being added and added and added and added and added. And all of a sudden I looked around and there they were. There he was. He was there all the time. He was there all the time. Patiently waiting for me to give him a sign. A sign that said, welcome, Lord, won't you please come on in. Lord, I know that you're leading me. I want to follow you. Lord, I want to be led into all truth in whatever my circumstance is. Lord, show me where I haven't been leadable. Show me where I've pulled the rein out of your hand. Show me where I've just stood still. Show me, Lord, if there are areas where I'm not getting all the benefits that you plan for me to have. Show me, Lord. I know that you're the guide. I know, Holy Spirit, that you're the guide. Forgive me, Holy Spirit, for resisting you. Because I know the Bible says I shouldn't quench you. And I shouldn't test you. And I shouldn't stand back and say, well, you know, when God makes me, God shouldn't have to make us do anything. I never wanted my children to do stuff because I made them do it. I liked it when they just said okay. I liked it when they had the idea. I don't like it. My wife doesn't like it if I say, okay, fine, I'll do it. I mean, it's better than me not being willing to do it, but it's a lot better if, you know, let's do this thing. Let's go ahead and do this. It's enjoyable. When we're riding the motorcycle, she said, thank you, honey, for taking me on a trip. It was a real real torture because, you know, I hate to do it. No, I'm glad to do it. But she was glad that I would do it. And with the Lord, what we need to do is just come to the place where we are, where it's anything. Where you lead, I will follow, because you know the best way. And even if it seems like it's not the short way, but the long way, we know it's the good way. Because He is good. And blessed are they who put their trust in the Lord. And blessed are they who don't necessarily see it going the way that they want it to go, but still put their trust in the Lord. Who declare, I know you will never leave me and you will never forsake me because you said so in your word and you cannot lie, so we're okay. I put my trust in you. Now, Lord, Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He anointed me to preach the good news to the poor, to speak liberty to the captives. What a wonderful Lord. And He said, the Holy Spirit will come and He will lead you. Do we want to be led? That's the giant question. Do I want to be led just for a while? Do I want to be led all the time? Do I want to receive His comfort when it's to my advantage, but now I can just do my own thing? Or am I going to keep on knowing that in Him, that's where the advantage lies? Am I going to be strong enough to cast down those imaginations that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God? Am I going to keep myself in love with God and in the love of God? You know, what am I going to do? Probably 34 years ago or so was my first one of very few Old Settlers Day that I had a good remembrance of. And that was when I was no longer killing myself. And it was a time when there came a time when somebody said, come on, let's go have a beer. And I knew the time was coming. And I knew that I would have no problem because I didn't have any desire for that. But my concern was, what am I going to say? And the Holy Spirit gives us what we need to say. I just said, I don't need that anymore. And then when my friend said, oh, you had to quit, huh? I said, no, I didn't have to quit. I found something better. I drove him just a little crazy that I found something better. What could be better? And I didn't even know much then. But I knew God was better. Because the little I'd experienced already was so much more fullness than all that I'd experienced before. It was going to be amazing. I just didn't know how amazing. And 34 years later, I still don't know how amazing. Because He just keeps getting better. And I believe that He keeps getting better the more leadable we are. And so, again, I have to join Paul in saying I haven't yet arrived. I still find places where I know better, but I don't get the quick hold on attitude. I don't get the quick hold on my desires. I don't get a quick hold on it, but I don't ever let go of the one who is leading me. And as long as we're determined to do that, He's going to keep leading. When I was a kid, the 4-H days were like, there were all kinds of cattle and steers and stuff and all of that, you know. But these young kids that learn how to do it, or they were rodeoing or things like that, where they're teaching a horse to lead or a steer to lead or something like that, they don't always lead perfectly. They stall, they stop, they back up sometimes. Every now and then they'll jerk out of their hand. Somebody else will have to help them catch them, whatever. It isn't going perfectly, but they keep working and working and working and working and keep teaching them to lead and to lead and to lead and to lead until they are leadable. And as long as we're willing to be led, He will keep leading. As long as we're willing to say, God, forgive my imperfections, He'll keep perfecting us. As long as we entrust ourselves to Him, He'll show us the way. And we need to be people who are being leadable so that we can be leaders. Because there's people everywhere that we run into that need a leader. Someone that can lead them into all truth, even if it's only a tiny seed. Even if it's daring to give glory to God when it doesn't look like anybody should give glory to God. Even to just say, hey, thanks be to God. He's working on something. Oh, you'll always find people say, I don't understand what He's working on. I don't know why God did this, or I don't know why God did that. Or why did God make this person sick? Or why, that God doesn't make people sick. He's a healer. He doesn't send disease. He doesn't have to teach us with terrible things, but He'll teach us wherever we are when we're ready to be taught, when we're ready to be led. And then we begin to really enjoy the benefits of God. Then we be able to look and to say, wow, this is good. We can enjoy this. One of my guys called me last night, and he's back in jail, but I think ready to be out and be done. But he had a little baby, and so now he was wondering if it was fair for him to have this little baby and enjoy this little baby after his 3-year-old daughter had died in a car accident. And he didn't know if it was fair that he should be able to raise this child and that other child not be able to enjoy it. I said, forgive me, but that's just stupid. That is just stupid. She's not worried a bit. She's 3 years old. She's been in heaven ever since she was 3. Don't you rob this new little baby because you're feeling guilty about the other baby. Old things pass away. Come on, the Holy Spirit says. Let's have joy unspeakable and full of glory. Let's make this better than ever. You know? The little bit that's behind you is nothing compared to the huge, wonderful things ahead of you. That's the word of the Lord to us. That's the guidance of the Holy Spirit to us. Don't worry about the times that you were lost, rejoice that you were found. Don't worry about you were blind, rejoice that you see. Rejoice that you found amazing grace. You know, Jesus told the disciples when they had gone out and done miracles and all kinds of stuff, you know, and they came back and said, whoa, woohoo! Man, we went out, we walked in power, that's great. And Jesus said, that's true. And that's wonderful. But rejoice the most. Rejoice the most in the fact that your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Wow. I'm written down in glory. And that's the end of the story. But between now and then, oh my goodness, look what God is doing. Look what God is doing for me. If God has done this, He can do this and this and this. Oh man, we've got reason to rejoice. What's coming? What's coming? Whoa, it's going to be awesome. It's going to be awesome. You know, it'd be like a parent or a grandparent saying to their child or their grandchild, oh, wait till you see what I'm going to get you. Wait till you see. Just wait till you see what your daddy buys you for Christmas, girls. Woo! He's probably going to send you presents in between. You'll probably be planning on that. You'll be talking to each other about, I bet Daddy's finding us something now. He promised to send us stuff. Anything for us in the mail? You see, excited. That's how we should be about God. Just excited about what's God got for me today. See, that's what the Holy Spirit stirs up in our hearts. He just stirs it up. He says, oh, just imagine. Because eyes not seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagine what God has in store for those who love him. But it's okay to think about it. It's okay to plan for good. The goodness of God in the land of the living. Amen? Father, that's what we want. That's what we appreciate. That's what we expect. So, lead us, Holy Spirit. Lead us. We open our hearts up to you to lead us deeper and deeper into all truth. In Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord.